Hey there, St. Andrews family. We are back. And I say we. Pastor Ethan is off awaiting the birth of his son and Wren. And so keep them in your prayers. They're a little bit past the due date, so I'm sure they're anxious. But usually I say it's Pastor Matt and Pastor Ethan, but I'm going to say it's Pastor Matt and it's...
Yeah, Greg Lendy.
Greg Lendy, yes, absolutely. So special guest, which is always fun to do something a little different. And man,
Matt, you know, this is like taking Pastor Ethan's place is kind of like putting a mule to take the place of a horse going into the Kentucky Derby. So this is a big thing for me to have to take his place. This is not an easy gig here. I've listened to you guys a couple of times. You guys are way too good at this. So yeah, this is a little bit intimidating.
Well, I will tell you what, and so for those of you who aren't familiar with Greg Lendy, Greg Lendy is in charge of our worship team on Saturday nights, and I always try to point out to people, not everybody gets what we get at St. Andrews, as far as like, not everybody gets to experience what we experience at St. Andrews, and we have our Saturday night worship team. Not only are they talented, but it's just so theologically sound. So to have someone who leads worship like you do, who studies the scriptures, who studies, has a deep commitment to our faith and is very knowledgeable. I tell you what, sometimes it's interesting because Greg will lead off the Saturday service and give some insight or something he's been studying, thinking about. And a lot of times you're talking about stuff that I haven't even considered, man. I'm like, man, this is great. This is so cool. So before we get into the sermon, let's talk about that a little bit. So you lead the worship team and you write a lot of music, and it's really great music that is fun to sing. I know our kids love singing it in chapel at St. Andrews and stuff like that. But talk to me a little bit about when did you first get into writing your own stuff?
Boy, it started very early on. Once I learned how to play the guitar, which was probably about 16, 17 years old, I started writing right away. And I just, like I say, over the years, it seems like a lot of times it would just be something that I was reading from scripture that inspired me. But there's been crazy times where, you know, I've gone to bed and all of a sudden I've awakened and had a song in my head and words to go with it. I think most of the time, if I can stay out of the way and let the Holy Spirit work, usually that's usually about the best that I can do. I think I've told you stories where I've really struggled with certain words and things like that. And then finally I say, God, you know what? I realize I'm trying to do this by myself. And then all of a sudden, you know, once I give it into his hands, the words flow. So yeah.
The Holy Spirit has a way of holy humbling.
It's true. It's true.
It is so funny. There have been so many times when like I've preached a sermon and thought, oh, that didn't do it. I'm sorry. It wasn't a very good one. And then that's someone inevitably people leave say, Pastor, that really moved me. Or man, that was really the word I needed to hear today. And then the ones where I think, man, this is awesome. This is gonna be so fun. I just wrote this awesome sermon. People kind of leave like, ah, all right, whatever. You know, great, great. See you later, Pastor. You know, so I
do a Bible study a couple times a month. And mm-hmm. and I always tell the guys, you know, we were in a group of about 10 guys or so. And I tell the guys, if I could tell you how many times, because we do it on Wednesday nights, how many times Wednesday morning comes along and I'm on my knees just saying, Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing. Just show me the way. And that's it. You want to talk about being humble? I say that's it.
And what you just said, I think is exactly what the Holy Spirit teaches us sometimes. You have no idea what you're doing. And that's the message I get loud and clear so many times. But tell me about your, you write songs, and what, like I said, like it's such a benefit because obviously we sing popular songs too, and you do a wonderful job of playing those. But when you're writing these songs, they're always so theologically rooted. And I think one of the challenges I see with music, and especially with a lot of contemporary music, is a lot of it ends up being, a little bit more law focused. It talks about love and those things, but there's a little bit more of a law focus. And you always have such a great law and gospel message. We need both of those. And I just want to commend you for that. And I know you deliberate about that. That's something you think about when you're writing.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, I've had conversations with even my family members about this too. The focus is always about, because I think that a lot of the music that's out there is about what we do and how, you know, our love for God and what we've done and everything like that. And I've never looked at my music like that. I think it's always about His love and what He's done for me, because that's the reality of it, right? And so that's why it always points to the cross, but it always ends up with something dealing with God's love. And so the forgiveness and everything that stems from His love. And you and I have had conversations. There's been times where you've preached on something and I've gone home and written a song about it, because it just has reminded me once again. I know there was a song that I wrote, and the verses in it, or parts of it, talk about, you know, it is finished, it is finished. And you would, you know, the Sunday or Saturday before, that's, you know, what your sermon was. So I didn't give you any credit on it. I just wrote it and just, you know, whatever. I figured you probably stole it from scripture anyway. So
yeah I did not write those words. Rest assured, you don't need to credit me for anything, because that's I'm talking about something that people, a lot of people have talked about over the centuries for a long time. So yeah, I really don't deserve any credit for anything, but oh man, well I appreciate that. The other thing I appreciate is the deep theological insight. Now we just, so people know, we have a joke that we kind of use most Saturdays when we get together, and you'll say to me, or I'll say to you, like you'll say to me, "Pastor, what's your sermon about?" And I'll say, "Well, Craig, this week it's about Jesus." And then you'll say, "What are the chances my songs are about Jesus?" You know, it's just like, it's kind of a fun joke. But more than that, the tie-ins to the music are, I mean, we talk, you know, we send kind of notes back to each other about what the sermon's going to be about and stuff. But man, the tie-ins are sometimes so powerful. And this week, as we preached on Psalm 130, the song that you sang based upon 130, just "Out of the Depths I Cry to You." Oh man, that just like, it was just so beautiful to have that at the end of the service, just kind of like, you know, while we've just preached, we thought about that, and then just to get that reinforced that the music was just like, man, it was just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it.
And yeah. You know, Matt, there's times where, you know, I'll have the lessons for, you know, what you're going to be, you know, talking about. But boy, within those lessons, you know, even in the gospel readings, there are so many different ways you can go with that. Right. And so, you know, I try to base things a lot of times besides the lessons, it's really what your sermon topic is. Once I get that sermon topic or the title, then it really helps me. But there's so many times where the Spirit moves in ways. I think we've talked about this many a times, all of a sudden, you know, like maybe, you know, 10 minutes before I'm actually finalizing the music, something comes to me. I put a brand new song in that, you know, I wasn't even thinking about. And then all of a sudden, I hear the words that you say in your sermon, and they match identically to the song. It's just, you know, and like I said, wild. I think sometimes if we take time just to get out of the way of the Holy Spirit, I think that's when things go the best. So
probably good counsel for most areas of our lives. Just get out of the way. Get out of the way. Yeah.
True.
But let's talk about that. So this last sermon was about Psalm 130, and I don't know, for me, that Psalm, it's like I said in the sermon, it's one of my absolute favorites. It's one that I go to so often. And the main thing about that is, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, and therefore you are feared. But there's so much depth in a short Psalm. There's just so much depth in all that. What were some of your thoughts on just the reading itself, Psalm 130 itself?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm familiar with that Psalm too. And it's the same words. It's the same words that you just said. If God kept account, and I think sometimes as Christians, we have to be reminded. That's why not by chance, but every one of your sermons has something to do with the cross. It's going to end with the cross, right? It's going to end with the cross. It's going to end with what Jesus did for us. And I think that life can get messy for us. We go to church, and we are sinners before God, right? We're sinners before God. And yet, I think we want to portray this, oh, we're, you know what, we got it all together. We're in good shape. We got it all together. But the truth is, everybody's messy. Everybody's got their own things going on, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that when you do what you do and always point things back to the cross, and this particular psalm, we're reminded that God doesn't hold an account. And
right.
that right there, I think, is the thing that we just need to be reminded. That's part of the reason we come together as a community. We don't just stay at home and do whatever we do. When we come to church, we're reminded by you. We're reminded by each other, the songs we sing. And I think that that's the importance of that. That's what sticks out to me. So, yeah.
And I'm so grateful for, you know, our faith tradition, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, for all of our foibles, man. This is a church body that believes in the inspiration of Scripture and will hammer home grace after grace after grace. And I'm so grateful for that. I was talking to someone this last week, and they were just kind of talking, well, like, you know, why is it that we worship every week? It's an interesting question. Why is it that it's important to be in worship every week? And I said, I think years ago I would have given you a more complicated answer, but I will just tell you, we need to be in worship every week because the gospel is weird. The gospel, the grace of God is so foreign to anything else. We can't compare it to anything. And it's so weird that we lose sight of it. Like, we'll never lose sight of the law. The law makes sense. The gospel doesn't make sense. And I was like, we need to be in church every week because we're dealing with this really weird thing called the gospel, the grace of God, you know?
So. And Matt, I think that there's a lot of churches out there, and you and I have talked about this, that you can leave a church service and be convicted, which is great. You need to be convicted, but you leave convicted, and that's it. You leave convicted, and you're saying,
yeah,
oh my goodness. Do I have the Holy Spirit inside me? Because I know that I've sinned and all that stuff. It's when you're going back to the grace like you do and the cross that you're able to leave the service saying, yeah, I'm a sinner, but man, there's something. You know, we go back to that. It is finished.
Yeah.
She doesn't hold an account. And I think that's the beauty. And I don't know if you did this, but maybe you can explain. I don't know if people realize how much Psalm 130 and Psalm 150 go together. And I don't know if you did that on purpose or not, but the connection is so wonderful. And I'll give you.
I'll be honest. This is why it's so great to talk to you. I haven't considered that Psalm 130 and 150 are like super connected. So you say that gets me excited because I've not thought about this. So tell us. I mean, get into it.
Yeah. So, as you read Psalm 150, and first of all, we know that you know, you've talked about the idea that Psalms are divided into five different sections.
Yeah.
Each section ends with a doxology. So, you know, as Lutherans, we think of, hey, there's one doxology we sing and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But there's more to that. There's other doxologies. But this ends the fifth section. And the whole thing is a doxology, right? There's nothing else. The whole thing is a doxology. And it's talking about the idea that we want to praise God. And so there's a lot of different facets, the who, what, where, when part of that. But what brings you to the point of really praising God? Like, what brings you to that point? And we go back to 130 and we see that we're sinners, but God is not holding us, you know, there's no account there and we're forgiven. What better thing to then make your heart filled with joy to want to make you praise, right? I mean, there's a lot of different things, but man, when I read that 150 and 130, I thought, yeah, Pastor Matt's brilliant, man. He put these two things together because it really does go together. And so by us knowing that there is no account held, we're forgiven, that should bring us joy and make us want to praise this amazing God.
Well, first off, I'm not that brilliant because I did not make that direct connection. Secondly, you know, hopefully nobody listens to this and they'll just think I'm brilliant like you did. But uh, I, No, what strikes me though is the reason, I think the reason why that we end, because Psalm 150, we'll get into that. It's just praise after praise him with the heart, praise him with the lyre, praise him, everything has breath, just like every, just praise God with everything. But I think the thing that strikes me about that is the reason why I praise God is not because he just said, no big deal or forget about it, but he actually threw himself in front of the train for us. He threw himself in the water. For, I mean, he did take the punishment in Jesus Christ that we deserved. So it's not just like, oh yeah, don't you know, whatever, forget about it. No, exactly. It's like that your sin's awful, but I stepped in front of the onslaught of the curse and the punishment and the bloodshed. I took that. And so that's why it's like we just get to stand in awe. And I think that's that whole idea of fear. Like it's not just like he's this powerless creature to enforce it, and he could do whatever he wants. But what he decided to do was just take the blow for us. And that's, But, I mean, Psalm 150, you'll see it says hallelujah 10 times. And, I mean, hallelujah is kind of broken down to, halal, kind of the praise. And then the hallelujah that's like you together, like everybody together. And then, praise God. So praise together God. And it's just, I mean, that's just a sermon in itself, but, I don't know.
The idea that there's the hallelujah, as in Yahweh, and then the hallelujah El, which is the one saying the praising Yahweh and then praising God. It's an interesting thing at the beginning, the way that they do that, just the psalmist. It's interesting to start off with. Just one other thing that really hits me with this is that you see that you're praising God for what he has done and who he is. And I remember one of your very early sermons, I remember you saying that. I mean, when you first came in, I remember you mentioning about it's not just about what he's done for us and how he's blessed us, but it's thanking God and praising God for who he is, the character of who he is. And that's how many years ago? I mean, you've been with us for how long? And
feels like 100 years, Greg. No, I'm joking. No, I've been here for 15 years. 15 years.
So that's a while ago, but it still stuck with me. So
But the one of the things I love about Psalm 150 is it really is so clearly a song, and it's inviting song. I didn't know it's praising, and like most of the things listed are musical instruments, which I think is such a cool thing. And honestly, the little snarky side of me, I got to be honest with you, like we have both contemporary and traditional music at St. Andrews. And I thank God it's done so well. Our traditional music has done so well. Our contemporary music has done so well. There are some who kind of say, well, you shouldn't be doing contemporary music, or don't kind of rail at that. And I was going to say, well, go read Psalm 150, dude. It didn't say the organ, not once, you know, I love the organ.
Man, I'm going to tell you something. So this is years ago. I started out, it was all traditional. I did all the choir. I directed choirs, everything. And when contemporary music started coming out, Psalm 150 was the battle cry for contemporary music. Because it said, you know, you got this thing that, you know, a skin covering, whatever, kind of like a drum. And then the cymbals. And then you got the strings for guitar. It was the battle cry. I'm not kidding. People used Psalm 150 to get contemporary music out there when it first started coming out.
I think justifiably so. I mean, there's stringed instruments, there's percussion instruments, all these things. So I love that. And like I said, I love the fact that sometimes Jordan plays on Saturday nights. And I love the mixing of everything, but. What a cool thing is if you can play it to praise the Lord, you know, it's such a beautiful thing. As we're closing out here, what is something about leading worship? Like, I mean, you make it look easy. So what is something about it that's a challenge that most people wouldn't know, not having done it? Like, I've never led contemporary worship. I don't know how to do it. But, like, what's something that you would say, here's a challenge that most people don't think about?
Yeah. I think probably the toughest thing is that in your brain, you're always thinking about the next thing. And you're thinking about, because I have to be thinking about, okay, so not only how does this song go, but I'm leading, so I have to think about tempo. I have to think about what, you know, how I'm going to play an intro. And it's very difficult. And I really try to step back. I've had talks with my daughter, Hannah, and Caleb about this many times. To step back, to be in the moment, to be worshipful, to express that worship to this incredible God and be in that moment and yet still be ready to do the next song or to do whatever. And I think that that's probably the hardest part of doing worship is to actually, because I, you know how we are. This is not a show thing. This is not a show thing. When we're up there, we're worshiping, we're with the congregation, and my job is to offer something that is going to help the rest of the congregation to worship too, you know? And so to be in that moment and yet be ready for the next moment, that's probably the toughest part of everything. So, yeah.
It's one of those things where it's mentally and spiritually taxing. People probably don't realize that, like, there's a different kind of tiredness that comes after a worship service when you're leading it. And people probably don't understand that, like, you're pretty wiped out, you know, like, it's like,
no,
it's great.
It's true. Yeah.
So, oh man. Well, I tell you what, Greg, I'm going to ask you to pray for me this weekend. And kind of my preaching and preparation. So I would love to invite you to do that.
Dear gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for all that you are, all that you've done. We give you thanks that we have this place to worship. We have just some amazing pastors in Ethan and in Matt. We give you thanks for that. And we just pray that this week, once again, as always, that our focus is going to be on you. And that you're going to give the words to Matt that he's going to need, give him that energy, give him that excitement, that as he is ready to preach about praise, that we'll be ready to praise you. And we're just going to continue to think about what you've done for us on the cross, your love, your mercy, and your grace, that not only will Matt be ready to preach about it, but the whole congregation is going to be ready to sing and praise you. So these things we offer up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Matt, thanks for having me on. We appreciate that.